We can't hear you, Mark.
All right, I'll start over. Thank you, Jim. Nobody heard that. Yes, appreciate the word. It was a good word. We all have a little something to add or question from this word, and I'm going to be first today. The word is true. I mean, the message is for all generations. But the early church had a problem with that. Okay. The Feast of Pentecost, Jim, they were gathered from all nations. However, I think they were probably all Jews that were gathered. They were Jews that were dispersed into all nations. They had no problem going into all nations. But to invite all those nations to become Jews, or whatever, was a problem for them. However, if they were all, if the people that were gathered had, see, they gathered because they were Jews. It was a Jewish feast that they came for. If they had solved the problem then, why did they have a problem in Acts chapter 10 with Cornelius? So, in other words, they really hadn't solved the problem of taking it to all nations until Peter took it to Cornelius and the Holy Spirit sovereignly baptized them with the Holy Spirit before they even got baptized in water. So that proved. But you know what? They still had a problem, didn't they? And when Paul returned to Jerusalem, still the apostles were struggling with this idea of other people that were not, shall we say, seed of Abraham, natural seed. And Paul, what a conflicting fellow he was. I mean, started off the way he did, such a horrible man, making havoc of the church, and then turning around completely the other way and spreading the message everywhere, and even had to teach the apostles, the original apostles themselves, that this is what God was doing. Okay, so that was just my comment about how the early church had a real problem with that issue.
And that's exactly right, Mark. They had to come out of that biased. They were so biased and prejudiced against the Gentiles. And that's the message that God is calling for us today, to come out of all of that bias and discrimination, and because God wants to take this gospel of the kingdom to all nations. The Jews were scattered abroad, kind of like the Nigerians. They're all over the world. We got brothers in Canada. We got brothers in France. And especially Nigeria, But this gospel of the kingdom is to go to all nations without prejudice, because we're going to meet some very, Paul was a murderer. We went to murderers in the prison, and they weren't all men. Some of the women said, "Hey, I had to kill him before he killed me." She said, "I was ready to go to prison because he was going to take my life, and I had to be here for my children." So God's going to send us to some very unsavory people. We have to overcome our bias. In Jesus' name.
About the natural Jew today, the natural Jew, for the most part, is still very biased against Gentiles. They do not want Gentiles or Gentile believing people in Israel. Now, I can tell you what happened. We were in Ethiopia, and we began doing traveling, getting involved in people that were from other parts of Ethiopia. And we met some brethren that were in the northern part of Ethiopia that decided that they were probably seed of Abraham. How that happened, we're not going to dispute, but it did happen. The Queen of Sheba, which is Ethiopia, went back up there into Israel, and I believe there is genetic proof that there is Israel seed in Ethiopia. Well, some of these Ethiopians went up to Israel, and they wanted to live in Israel and become part of Israel. But they were Christians. And you know what? The government of Israel would not allow them to stay. They sent them back to Ethiopia. Said, you don't belong here, you're Christians. Yeah, but we've got the DNA of Abraham. No, that doesn't matter. You're Christians, we won't have you. So, you know, we need to pray about that. Open their hearts up too.
Yes, we do, as Christians, have to overcome any bias against the Jews. I have never had a desire to go to the nation of Israel, to see Jerusalem. Never had a desire. All of a sudden, by the Spirit, I see myself there. I'm not making plans. I'm not going to get a visa. Relax, Joanne. We're not going to Israel. But still, I see myself preaching this gospel of the kingdom in Israel, in Jerusalem.
Okay. Jim, I want to comment about one more thing, and then I know that Mike and the brethren, Larry, Opie, they've all got something to say here too. But the verse in chapter 9 of Revelation, in particular, the part about releasing the four angels. And by the way, I suddenly found it interesting. I've read that 100 times. I found it interesting that the word angel is used here. And it seems angel, fallen angel, implies those that came out of heaven with Satan that had been bound for how many thousand years in this river Euphrates. I find two interesting points. Number one, that it's Euphrates, which of course we know speaks of the seat of not only civilization, but the seat of Islam in particular today. But the four spirits, now you went through those four spirits, Jim, which is good. The spirit of murder, the sorcery, and the true word sorcery here is pharmakia. Okay? The biggest problem that the law of the land is dealing with in criminals is not that they're making witchcraft, but the use of drugs. The drug industry is a $1 billion industry, and it is so strong that the police can't stop it. They're going to get around it no matter what. They're bombing their boats that are coming out of Colombia and wherever. Still, it's getting through. It's coming through. The thing that people are being arrested today, and you know, it's not just criminal gangs. It's average, everyday people. Just suddenly. I mean, people in my, when we were young, when we were children, people didn't think of, this spirit was not released in those days. But today, you know, we read the news every day, and we're not getting it all. A man comes up to a Dollar General, pulls $2 out of his pocket, hands them to the lady. She begins to unfold because it was all crumpled up. He pulls out a gun and shoots her. For what reason? A couple of boys in a track meet. One boy from one school goes over to another, and they tell him, "You don't belong in this tent. You know, you're another tent. Go over there." He pulls out a knife and kills him. Murder. I mean, children murdering, parents murdering their children. Father kills his children, his wife. Wife kills the husband and children. This is going on every day now. This is a spirit that has been released. So what are people, what is filling our jails today? Murder, drugs, sex trafficking, as Jim pointed out. But you know what? It's not just sex trafficking. Fornication is the standard of life. I mean, all you have to do is say, well, somebody is dating somebody. You know what that automatically means? It means fornication. I mean, it shouldn't, the Christian shouldn't be the standard, but you know what? It's becoming very common. We had a couple, we went to their wedding, neighbors, last Saturday, I think, last, I don't know, maybe it wasn't Saturday. We got to know them pretty well. They went to the Catholic Church, they got married. You know what? They've been living together for what? 13 years, I think. 13 years. Living together. Well, now they're married. But you know what? Nobody thinks anything of it. Well, they're just a couple. So, in other words, fornication is considered the standard now. Nobody questions that. And finally, thefts. Why are the biggest thievery going on among average men and women today? Why? What do they want? They want drugs. They want pharmakia. And if anybody challenges them, murder. So we have this combination of devils all working together. Murder, drugs, sex, thieving. Prisons are getting filled up. Average, ordinary people of the world giving in to these spirits. I think they've been released already, Jim. I don't know what day and hour it happened, but I think, you know, maybe it's going to get worse. Maybe there's another day and hour that it's going to just explode. Mm-hmm. But from my understanding of history, of the years I've grown up, it certainly looks like it's exploded already. All right, I've said enough. Time for Mike.
Okay, well, I did just have one thought. I thought about Brother Paul. You know, I noticed in reading his writings that basically there were two things that really occupied his Christian life, basically, in his ministry. Two things. One of them was trying to convince everyone that Jesus was who he really was. And number two, that he was for everybody. the Gentiles too, not just the Jews. And, you know, in a way, that's a shame that this great man of God had to spend all of his time trying to convince people of those two things. And so the thing I want to say is, here we sit, this group of 20 of us or whatever it is, and there's lots of groups like us, and there's lots of people like us, and all over the world. So his message did get through to a certain bunch of people. And so I've found in my life, one of the things that I've had to just fight and fight and fight against is this rapture doctrine. And there's a couple other little things kind of like that too. And so what I want to say is to all of us sitting here, don't give up. You know, Paul's message got through to some of us, and our message is going to get through to some of them too. So no matter how hard and how much you get rejected, don't give up, because there's going to be a certain amount of people. And I believe what Jim said is, in the day of trouble, in the hour of trouble, they're going to be coming to us. They're going to be coming. They're going to remember little things that you said. And it's going to be just like those guys beating on the door of Noah's Ark.
Yeah.
They're going to want and need the truth. And there needs to be some of us that's going to be giving it to them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, Mike. And why the popularity of the rapture doctrine? Because they don't want to be overcomers. They don't like the message of overcoming because it implies trouble and tribulation. And that's not what they're preaching.
Yes, and combined with that, not only do they not want that, but they do want an easy way out. They want to be able to live their life for themselves the way they want to live it. And they're just going to get whisked away and taken to heaven. That's what they think in their mind. And that's why the rapture doctrine is so dangerous, because basically it's a false sense of hope.
And it keeps people in the outer court and makes the outer court a very comfortable place. It was not God's purpose to stay at that point in the outer court and build your building there and not go any further. Well, thank you, Mike. Somebody else?
Yeah, I just want to say something about Islam and the Muslim people. And I have to be careful what I say, because some of my brethren may not understand where I'm coming from, but I deal with Muslim people every day. I converse with them, talk with them. I, of course, hand them out Christian tracts. And we want to believe, we Christians, are of the opinion that every Muslim is out to get us, or every Muslim is taken, you know, by this spirit of Islam, and you know, are destined for hell. Now, you know, I talk, like I say, I talk with these people every day, and I see differences in them. Some of them, I'm going to surprise you to say, some of them are really nice, good people. And you're going to say or think, well, you're being deceived because that's part of their act. And I get that. I know that there is deception out there. And I'm aware of that. And, you know, I'm skeptical of people. And I always am thinking when I'm talking to them, you know, who am I talking to? You know, is it really this good person that is, you know, kind to me? Or is it just an act? For instance, this Friday, Thursday or Friday, the one man that was at the counter, and it was just him and I, and I got done with my business, and, you know, he paid me the money, and he says, go get a drink. And I said, no, I don't want. He insisted. He put his hand on his heart in a gesture and pointing, you know, to go get a drink, please. You know, it's my gift to you, kind of, you know. And I went over and I got orange juice and so forth. But it's just a gesture. And I knew, you know, where he was coming from. So, you know, I could see a difference in him than other people. And the fact is that these Muslim people are themselves deceived by Islam. And we need to minister the truth of Jesus Christ to them, to bring them out of that deception. Now, I want to address radical Islam. There is a portion of Muslim people that are radicalized and are doing the work of Satan. And this is a problem. This is perhaps the biggest problem in society today. I'm talking about Western civilization. Radical Islam has in the past destroyed countries like Lebanon, Iran, Syria, Turkey. Now we're talking about the Western civilization that has taken in all these Muslim people, specifically Europe, has become dominated by this Islam culture. And they have taken over many of these countries. And now they can't, once they realize that, England, France, others, once they realize that they've been deceived, and now they're a threat to their culture, and it's too late, they can't get rid of them. So now you look at what's happening in our country, in America. This infestation is happening here too. And it's not too late yet, but unless the people in power, and specifically even more so the Christians, step up and start speaking out against radical Islam, we too are going to come under this same spirit, and it's already taken over some of the cities, you know, in our country. You'd be surprised to learn that some of the cities that are dominated by radical Islam are using Sharia law, that there's communities and cities that are actually not judging according to the Constitution, but they are passing judgment according to Sharia law. And you know what we're seeing now in this recent election where the radicals are being elected. Socialism, i.e. communism, is taking root, and it's also taken root by this Muslim facilitation, if I can use that word, that they are facilitating the takeover of our country. And it's time for we as sons of God, we as Christians, to stand up and say, this is not right, and speak out against it. So as much as I love the Muslim people that are taken into seat, that are good people, I hate radical Islam because I know that's of the devil.
Amen. Larry, I was thinking the same thing of radical Islam. But you know, what the politicians call radical Islam is actually true Islam.
Yeah.
It is what Islam actually believes. It is what the Quran actually says. And the people that are not radical Islam are not really true Islam.
Right.
In other words, they don't believe everything in the Quran. They say, oh, well, we don't need to do all that. And now I wonder, okay, so Christianity, is most of Christianity really radical Christianity? Or are we the radical Christians? Because we really believe what the Word of God actually says. And we believe it ought to be practiced the way the Bible says it does. But the rest of the church doesn't believe that. So I believe the day will come, if it's not already, that we're going to be called radical Christians. I'll leave it there.
I agree, Mark. We're probably the radicals, and the Christian or the Muslims that Larry's talking about are really the liberal Muslims that don't really believe the Quran. And I believe what Mark says, that the radicals really believe the Quran and that they should kill Christians. They should kill the Jews. So we have become the radical Christians that are going to take this gospel to them.
Yeah, we have Muslims that are working in the healthcare industry. And we have Muslim doctors. Rita had a Muslim doctor that treated her for the cancer. You know, it was a very gentle, very nice fellow. She came out and asked him one day if he believed in Jesus. Well, he says, no, I'm a Muslim. But, you know, I'm thinking, if this man were really a Muslim, what would he be doing trying to save a Christian? He should be working to kill them because they didn't accept Islam. Thank God he wasn't a good Muslim. You know, another thing, just a comment about this message of Christianity should really be very attractive to Muslim people. When we went to India, Nancy, you didn't go with us, but Bert was with us, Bert and George and Seth. We spent a month there, and we preached openly to anyone that would come. I mean, the meetings were outdoors. People could come. And you know, the thing that surprised me the most was that Muslim women came and they accepted Jesus. And I said to the brethren, I said, why is this happening? Even to the Indian brethren, I asked, why is this that the Muslim women are coming here and accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior? And they said, because their life is so terrible. As Muslim women, they have nothing to live for. Jesus is offering women, Muslim women, hope that they have no hope in their life that Islam is giving them. You go and read sometime about what's happening in Afghanistan. Horrible, horrible treatment of women, making them just lower than slaves. This message should be very attractive to people like that in some of these nations. Amen.
Amen. God is bringing us closer to something that we would not have been fully aware of. The message today by Brother Jim has touched something that all of us on this Zoom message should take into our hearts. We are talking about radical Islam. I stay in Nigeria here and I live in Uyo. And we see the move by Muslims, by Islam, to take over the whole country called Nigeria. And we need the Holy Spirit in our emotions. That's the Holy Spirit should overwhelm all of us to have the love of God to take the gospel to them. Otherwise, the way they come at you, the way they come when you try to present the gospel from their head, they can even bring out their daggers, their swords to attack you. And they are so volatile, they are so troublesome. And it is a fact that we have heard this gospel over time that Nigeria shall be the hub, a center where Christianity shall be spread across West Africa and Africa. And some brethren are putting in all their energies to go out of the country and preach to others, I mean, not the nations around us. The truth is that many of us have not internalized the faith of Christ to stand against the attacks of the Muslims because we don't need to go with their heads. We need to go with the faith of God in us to disarm them spiritually. And then do what God wants us to do. So I would rather call for prayers that such messages as we have heard today, the power of the Christ, should be manifested in us first, individually. Then we can, with boldness, take the gospel of Christ to the other nations, I mean, the people of Islam in Nigeria here. In fact, they are coming in. Right now, they are boasting that they have taken over the West. That's Lagos and Ogun, Western Nigeria. And they are promising that they are coming into the East. And already, some of our governors are complicit. They are just using all kinds of tactics to take over Nigeria. So we are calling for prayers that those of us that call ourselves Christians should understand who we are indeed. That's my submission to this. God bless us. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Well, amen.
Sister Lucy, we have
Brother Edie, go ahead.
Sister Lucy has something that looks on the other side. Of the Muslims. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, go ahead.
Praise God, brethren.
So I just wanted to share that, you know, we live in Guinea-Bissau. Guinea-Bissau is 90% Muslim. And we lived amongst them. These people are just people that need the love of God. I walked amongst them. I was in the hospital with them. I just lived the love of God. And when their children were sick and unconscious, I cared for them with all my heart. And I asked them, can I pray for your child in the name of Jesus? And they will say, yes, pray. Children, and some of them got well. Some of them ended up not getting well and even died. And even those of them the parents were happy with me because, in fact, one day market, and then we went eventually. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't recognize the man, but he recognized me. And he said, the doctor that treated my son that died. And he told the shop wards, the people that were attending in the shop, that they should not collect money from me for the goods that I was buying from the shop. This is a man whose son died. Hospital. He told that they should give it to me free. And our Portuguese teacher, Mr. So, he was an Arabic teacher. He was a core Muslim. And we started telling him about Jesus Christ. And he, one day, my husband was sharing with him. And he said, oh, now I can see the difference is the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the time we were leaving, he started joining us on online meetings to hear the word of God. And we still communicate with him till today. This is an Arabic teacher, a core Muslim, and some of those Muslim women, they are still in communication with me till date. What I feel is...
Coconut is wedding and prayed for him.
Yes, so we encouraged him to get married legally because he had this young girl that he had taken married in their traditional Muslim way. And we told him that he needed to go and legalize the marriage in the court. And he said it was very expensive. So we assisted him financially, went with him. He did the court wedding. And then my husband offered to pray for he and his wife in the name of Jesus Christ. And he submitted and he prayed for them. After praying for them, they didn't have a son. They didn't have a child. So he prayed that the Lord would give them a child. And when we came back to Nigeria, he called us to say that his wife was pregnant and that he needed to tell us because my husband was the one who prayed that God would give them a child. Today, they have a son. And when the son came, he also called us and informed us. So what the Muslim needs is the love of God. They don't even need too much of words, of preaching and all that. As you show the love of God to them, their hearts are open. At least in Guinea-Bissau. I don't know about other places. At least in Guinea-Bissau, this was my experience. I hardly went around saying, oh, let me preach to you. Jesus saves you and all that and all that. I just loved them and cared for their children. And as I did that, I realized that their hearts were open to the gospel. So that when I now said, let me pray for your child in the name of Jesus, they were willing. And I, by God's grace, as we prayed, the Lord healed. In fact, there was a miracle, one of them. A child that was given intravenous quinine. Brother Mark, I don't know, you may not have too much experience with quinine, IV quinine, because IV quinine should not be given intravenously. But this particular nurse, I can't stop in between now. This particular nurse gave this quinine intravenously. Yes, quinine, anti-malaria. It should not be given intravenously. So it was given intravenously, and in front of us, this child started convulsing. The child was dying.
Mm.
At this point, I didn't care that I was in a Muslim environment. I started praying in the name of Jesus and rebuking the spirit of death, and all around me were Muslims. And they all kept quiet. But there was one lone voice, only one lone voice I was hearing as I was praying. That lone voice was saying, "Amen, Jesus, amen, Jesus, amen." And that child was brought back to life.
Amen.
Amen.
And all the Muslims there, they were watching me praying in the name of Jesus Christ, and they did not fight me. They did not confront me. And so we lived amongst them. And even the people, our neighbor, the governor, she was afraid of even the community. One night, I was going to go to the hospital at about 10 o'clock. And she said, "Are you not afraid?" I said, "No, I'm not afraid." So even the community people were afraid. But we walked around the community, moved around, ministered to them the love of God, kindness, loving them. And we didn't have any problem for the 2 years that we were living with them. So they just need the love of God. They just need the life of Jesus being manifested in their midst. And it breaks them down. That was my own experience. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So I get this thought coming to me.
Amen.
And has to do with what we were talking about being radical Christians. You know, where was I going now? Yeah, to be radical Christians, because the thought came to me that our righteousness needs to surpass that of the Pharisees, or we will not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Amen. So we need to, like Lucy said, just love them, love those around us. Be, you know, love thy neighbor as thyself, like God says. You know, be radical in love, you know, not in the law of the, you know, the religion. Amen. So yes, our righteousness needs to surpass that of the Pharisees, or no, or we will not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's good, Rita. And that's exactly what Lucy did.
Yes.
She took the gospel. What is the gospel? The love of Jesus Christ. Without
Amen.
Discrimination, without bias. I'll tell you, I have one bias that it's trouble for me, the sodomites. I really have a trouble, and I have to get over it. I have to be able to minister to sodomites, you know. So, amen.
Lucy, I had forgotten that you guys were in Guinea-Bissau. I thought you were still in Nigeria. So we really need to pray for this couple, for Edie and Lucy.
We are back in Nigeria.
You're back. Okay. You're back in Nigeria.
Yes, we are back.
We were just sharing the experience we had while we were there.
Oh, when you were there. Okay. Now, you know, well, we can pray for Guinea-Bissau. I have a cousin. I have a first cousin. He's 1 year older than me, and the Mennonite Church sent him to Guinea-Bissau. And he started a church there, and there is a church somewhere there still. And he got a chance to come home, and he said, no, I will die here, and he's buried there. So, you know, there is a work in Guinea-Bissau. Someday I'd like to go there and find it. I may be too old now, but there is work. There is Christian work going on in Guinea-Bissau. And Lord, we pray right now that you would send a mighty move of the power of God into Guinea-Bissau. And Lord, they would remember the word that my cousin brought. They would remember the word that Lucy and Edie have brought. And Lord, that it would, even those who were healed and touched by their ministry, Lord, raise them up and let there be a mighty, mighty move in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, amen. Oh, praise God.
Amen.
Well, amen. I think we've had a good meeting today. It seems we've come to an end. So let us look forward to gathering again the next time. And let us see what God has for us now this week. Oh, let me turn. Yeah, I'm sorry. Let me turn this off. I'm sorry. Thank you for reminding me. It comes much easier when the recording has been turned off.
Can I?